it is Lent. We are officially in the season of preparing ourselves and our homes and our lives and our church for Easter. And it is a holy time, a time of looking at all that Jesus is and was and will be, and how the story, the gospel, has impacted the world, and applying it to our lives and to the world and to the future. And we will be exploring that through Lent. And today we start where Jesus' followers started, with an invitation. We'll talk today about the many kinds of invitations that we have received and that we offer others. And so I just want to wonder about it for a moment, all the different types of invitations that are out there, and that the ones that impact us the most. There's so many that just someone today in passing might say, why don't we grab a cup of coffee later this week? And then there's the big ones, like the heavy envelopes that unfold into sparkles and tassels, inviting you to weddings. And there's those invitations we have here. You know, we invite you to help us fix the roof. We invite you to Bible study, those types of things. What are your favorites? What's your favorite invitation to receive? Is there one that, just talking about it, that you can picture in your head right now? Does anybody have one that, yes?
Supper,
the dinner bell invitation. I forgot that one. Ding, 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 ding. Yes, what a blessing. Usually if you've been invited to supper, that means you haven't had to prepare it. Someone else has prepared it for you. I wonder about I love invitations. Those sparkly, frizzly ones that I spoke of. We love those. You don't get them very often. They're someone you know, but you're excited for, and we put them on our refrigerator, and they're just that reminder of something to look forward to, that you're going to reconnect with them and whoever gathers, that you might make new connections, that it's a party, it's an event. It's so fun just to see it kind of out of the corner of your eye and remember that there's something out there calling you to be somewhere else. Invitations are special because they are saying, we want you to be part of what we are doing. You are special enough that we want you to make our event more special. Your presence is requested. You've been invited. And while I love the weddings and those invitations, when I think about the invitations that have had the most impact on my life, weddings are fun, but the invitations that have really changed me are personal invitations. They're not mailed, and they're not broadcast. They come out of personal relationships in which the person I'm talking with says, I think you should be a part of this thing. I would love for you to join in this thing. Those are the ones that impact us the most. And when I think about that, I first think about my friend Ned. And Ned and I worked together for the Army Corps of Engineers for a couple years together. He and I were inspection partners. He was my senior by about 35 years or so, maybe more, 40, yeah. He had been in the business for a very long time, and I had not. And And so we were partnered together, and we would drive from worksite to worksite inspecting the work of the Army base, and we got to know each other very well. I always drove, and he always talked. That was in the very infancy of what my life looks like now. It was newly married. It was a new child. It was new to exploring church and what the gospel meant to me. And he knew all of that. We spent every day for a long time together, and I had spent a long time before that with nothing to do with the church. And so in that relationship that formed there, he invited me several times, but finally once that I received and accepted the invitation. It was an invitation to attend an Emmaus walk, which if you've heard of those, they are weekend-long retreats in which the person attending is able to cut off from the world and focus solely on their relationship with God. And that's all I'm allowed to tell you, apparently, about those. But I'll say, if you are ever invited to an Emmaus walk, accept the invitation. He didn't send me a note and say, "We would love for you to be there." He didn't stand up in the lunch hour and say, "Anyone here that wants to come is welcome to come." Those work. Those are good. But the impact happens when it's personal. Any other situation, I would have never attended that event. And it's in that event that I found a call to ministry. It's where I stood up in front of a group of people and said, "I'm going to pursue theology." That was not anywhere on the radar before that. I got home from that event and I said, talked to Amy, I said, "Come sit down." And I said, "I think I've been called to be a pastor." And she was like, "Okay." I was like, "No, you're not supposed to just accept that like that easily. This is huge." Like, yeah, that makes sense. No, it doesn't. It doesn't. It doesn't. That was the first real invitation that called me from where I was and whoever I was into something new and scary and amazing. Not very long after that, we went to our pastor and became members of a church, and a United Methodist Church in Milton, Florida. And as we were asking the pastor to what we could do, how to become members, how does this work? He invited us to lunch, and that was one of those great invitations. Like, lunch is on the house today. Let's go. In that conversation, we're invited to something completely different. We said we'd like to be members. We were excited about this thing and what God is doing. What do we need to do? And he said, that's all great. We'll make that happen. But here's what I want to invite you into. Would you help me start a young adults group?" This church was small but thriving. They had small groups for every, 40 to 50, 60 to 70, all these age ranges and young kids, but the young adults were lacking, which is not unique to any church. And he said, "Would you help me build that group?" And I'm not like, "No, why me? Why would I? Who am I to do that?" Completely unqualified, completely no history in that realm of anything. Sure. I guess. Because the invitation was there, and the invitation was, it's not about your history. It's not about your qualifications. It's about, we would love for you to pour your heart into this thing, because it'd be a blessing to you and a blessing to others. And so we said yes. I don't even know really what we were saying yes to. But what happened was, he said, we don't know how to connect. How do we get young parents into the church? And we said, well, first of all, you need to redo your nursery. It's old and dingy, and we had this brand new little precious perfect baby, and we don't want to leave her in there. It was dusty and gross, and it needed an update. And he said, so how much do you need to make that happen? And so he gave us a budget, and we started on this project of gutting and rebuilding this basement nursery in the church. And as we did that, we started saying it out loud to people. And when young people would show up, we're doing this thing. And they would show up on the days we were working, and they'd help us redo the floor and the trim and the paint and paint all the everything. And it became a project for people that had already wanted that to happen. And as we finished that project, we had a group of three other families that had helped with that. And I went to the pastor and said, we can't let this momentum die. Like, we've been meeting regularly to do this work, and if the project's done, what do we do? And so we started a group in between their first and second service that was dedicated to young adults and talking about life and everything in between and parenting and all that stuff. And within under 2 years, it had grown to, we had a list of like 20 plus people that were part of that and attending regularly. And it was so much more than that. We did life together. We had dinners at our houses, and we watched each other's kids so other parents can have a night away. And it became an extended family. And if that pastor would have gotten up in church and said, anyone that wants to rebuild the nursery, go ahead. Anybody that wants to start a new Bible study for young adults, we sign up right here. I would have slumped down in my chair and, you know, that invitation, those are good. But the model that Jesus gives us is different. Let's hear it from Mark chapter 1, how discipleship started. Jesus calls the first disciples. As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you fish for people. And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. Can you imagine what that would feel like to be personally invited, having zero history in ministry or in following Jesus, to leave everything that you've known behind, to leave your nets behind, to leave your ways behind, and simply to follow. Jesus' example is the example of discipleship. It is the definition of a discipleship. It is a person that knows God well, going to someone that is ready to make choices that will shape their future. and inviting them personally and saying, your history doesn't matter. Your experience, your faults and failures, none of that matters. What matters is following, taking one step and then the next. It's different than those wedding invitations. They're great. Jesus loved a good wedding. But those invitations are to an event, to one thing. The invitation from Christ is an invitation to a path, to a journey, to a lifetime, to a life-changing journey that step by step your heart is impacted and you are blessed to give impactful invitations to those who you meet along the way. That's the invitation that Jesus gave his first followers. That's the invitation that his first followers gave to the next and to the next and to the next. It's the invitation that Jesus offers you today, that you may be the one that invites the next person in, that lets the next person know that their history is forgiven and that they're being called and invited to follow a new path. It's not a perfect path. The line is straight in front of us, but we falter. We have missteps and failures. We often feel like we're taking two steps forward and three back. But also there's times that we're blessed to know that we're making progress, that our hearts are changing, that the work we're doing is impacting lives. That's the invitation today to you. And as hard as it is to go person by person, we invite you as a group and as individuals to come to Christ's table, to take those first steps, to take those continued steps into following the way and the truth and the life that Christ has given us.